This has been another wacky week in the news. Yet despite all that is going on in the world, has anyone stopped for a moment to give thanks to God for all of this? Now think about it. If we can thank God in the good times, then why can't we thank Him in the bad times? And are things really so bad? I'd venture to say that all of us are fortunate enough to live in one of the greatest countries in the world. All of us have shelter. We have food. We have clothing. Some of us may be in between jobs at the moment, and some may be struggling to pay bills, and some may be suffering due to health crisis. But we all know that we have a loving God who provides for all our needs. This is something that the Israelites had forgotten during the time of Isaiah. They had forgotten that throughout their many struggles, God had always provided for them. And we see that throughout the course of their journey, that they did experience many trying and difficult moments. But despite that, so long as they were in right relationship with God, they knew that their needs would be provided for. And it was only when they began to grumble and to show anger toward God for the circumstances that they found themselves in, then, well, perhaps God was a little slower to respond to them. Isaiah reminds us that we are to praise God for His wondrous deeds. We are to give to the Lord as a community of believers. We are to give to Him all the glory and praise that is due to Him, simply because He is our God. That was the hymn we just sung during our psalm. Give God all that He is due. And we are always to bring Him the gifts that He is due, in good times and in bad. We are called upon to praise our God. God tells us that He has called each of us by our name, and that there is no other God besides Him. Now, I don't know everyone's name here gathered tonight. I know we have some visitors from St. Stephen's, we have some from St. Lawrence, we have some from Corpus Christi, and if I'd known you all were coming, I would have been on my A game tonight. But suffice it to say, I don't know you all, but God certainly does. I don't know what each of you is in need of, but God certainly does. Now, if we have a God who's so intimate with each and every one of us that He knows us by our names and knows how to satisfy our needs, notice I didn't say our wants, He knows how to satisfy our needs, why do we not give Him the thanks that He deserves when times get a little bit rough? Now, I'm just as guilty as everyone else. I don't always remember to thank God during the difficult times. But how do we learn to give God thanks in all things? Certainly, one of the most important ways to live this principle in our lives is by first and foremost being prayerful people. Prayer, whether spoken or unspoken, unites us closer to God. And it is during these times when we communicate our concerns, our needs, our joys, our frustrations, that we are sharing intimately with the One who created us. When we live our lives in accordance with the way that Jesus taught us, we are truly giving thanks to the One who created us. In Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, he is acknowledging that fact with the community of believers in Thessalonica, that they truly were living as disciples of Jesus. He is thanking them for the fact that they are performing the works of faith, and he is thanking them for their labor of love within their community. See, Paul recognizes that this particular community has not only heard the word of God spoken to them through the gospel, but that they have been truly inspired by the power of the Holy Spirit. In essence, what Paul is doing is he's recognizing that these people, these disciples, are responding to God's call, but he is also recognizing them for being good citizens to the community where they are living. And today, my brothers and sisters, you and I are still called to be faithful citizens of our communities, as well as being faithful followers of God. And this is one of the messages of today's gospel. I love this one because the Pharisees here holding a coin are trying to trick Jesus. And in fact, they had met ahead of time in order to fashion a way that they could trick him. And so they show him a coin and ask him, who are we supposed to pay the tax? And Jesus quite ably responds back by saying, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and give to God what belongs to God. Now, perhaps this gospel should have been used these last two Sundays when we were talking about stewardship. I don't know why you chose, the other two Sundays, but at any rate, here we are. But how does this teaching affect us in our daily lives? We are Catholic Christians, and by God's grace, we are also able to call ourselves Americans. Our citizenship is important. We serve both God and our country. And patriotism, despite all the stuff we hear in the news, patriotism is still a strong virtue. And in fact, those who belong to the Knights of Columbus, they know that in order to advance to the fourth degree, or to become a fourth degree knight, you pass through and have patriotism as its main core. So God is calling us to serve both. We are both faithful witnesses of the gospel and faithful citizens of our country. But we must always remember that our responsibility to God is greater than our responsibility to serve our country. It seems like today this is called ever more into question, especially when we have seen the priorities mixed up in this, what I call a hypersensitive political climate that we face ourselves in. One deals with our temporal existence, that is, the service to our country. The other deals with our eternal life, and that is our service to God. But this calling has been put to the test throughout all of history, and perhaps most notably in the case of St. Thomas More, who is the patron saint of lawyers. For those of you who are unfamiliar with St. Thomas More, he was the Lord Chancellor of England during the time of Henry VIII. And when Henry VIII was trying to rid himself of certain wives and to seek annulment from the church, St. Thomas More basically stood up and said that God was first, okay, that he had to follow church law first. I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but what ended up happening is that in England they changed the laws to suit the king. And Thomas, being the just man that he was and a servant of God that he was, could not go along with the king's changing of the law to accommodate his situation. And so he was imprisoned for his faith, and he was put to death ultimately for his faith. But before he died, when asked if he was going to change his mind and follow the king's law, Thomas replied, "I die as the king's faithful servant, but God's first." So my brothers and sisters, it is in this context that we have to remember that we serve God first, our country second. But back to the example of the coin used today. Even Jesus is acknowledging that we are to give to Caesar what is due Caesar's. In other words, we are called to pay our fair share of what goes back to society. Jesus never said that we are not to pay our taxes. Oh, I wish he had. But he didn't say that. He is reminding us all that what we have is a gift from God, and we are to give to God what belongs to God. These past few weeks, that has become ever more present to us as we talked about stewardship, and we heard from Mark Lampeter last week about his own call to stewardship, about how he uses the gifts that God has given him. And yes, our money is a gift from our God. Today's culture, though, encourages us to place the love of money before the love of God. in our popular songs today. We often sing about man's love for money and how it is glamorized. Yet very few songs extol the virtues of using our money wisely. And those that do are usually only found on the Christian radio stations. Our TV advertisements are still trying to have us spend our money on the newest fashions, the glitziest of jewelry, the finest of luxury automobiles, exotic perfumes, elaborate vacations, and I can go on and on and on. But we don't hear much in our culture, and we certainly don't hear much in advertisement about how God desires us to use the money that he gifts to us. All of us, I'm sure, are hardworking individuals, but I dare say that most of us were never taught the principles of how to use God's money and how, as children. I know I was not taught that as a child. I was not taught that we had to give to God first. It was only after reading a bunch of books from a Christian author regarding the use of money that I began to understand that it was that we are to give God not from our excess, but we are to give God from our first fruits. And fortunately, my wife and I learned that principle early on in our marriage. In the first year of our marriage, we were living well above our means. We got into debt problems very, or I should say, I got us into debt problems very early on. My wife was an unwilling participant. And we were not tithing. And we were basically robbing from Peter to pay Paul. And when I lost my job, things got even worse, especially because it was during the time that our first child was on the way. And it was at that time that friends of ours gave us books by an author named Larry Burkett on how we were to use our money. And we devoured these books and we began to turn our lives around. We began to tithe to our church a little each week, and I think we started maybe with $5 a week at first. But steadily, we grew our tithing commitments. And what we found was that the more we gave to God of our time, our talents, and our treasure, the more that we were blessed. And we understood that the community functions when all members do their part. Now, our giving has grown exponentially from the first few days of our marriage. And our giving to God is done with a great deal of joy. And yes, we filled out one of those pledge cards last week, too. Not that I'm reminding everybody, but you will have an opportunity to do that again. But our giving continues to become a way of life. Our children did not always have the fanciest of things when they were growing up, but they never went without the necessities of life. And Linda and I don't always get what we want either, but we have all that we need. What we learned early on continues to guide our giving today. We are simply not able to ever outgive our God. The coin with Caesar's face on it does not control our lives. Rather, it is just a means to an end. Money is that. It's a gift from God, and God deserves what belongs to him. And today, with all the engaged couples that I'm fortunate enough to share with, I tell them that God needs to be a part of every part of their decision-making, including decisions on how they are to use their time, their talent, and their treasure. That through prayer, God reveals to them and to us what we are to do with our money. So I invite all of us tonight to invite God into your budget decisions. Determine what is necessary and what is not. Eliminate those things that are not necessary, those things that interfere with your service to God. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't treat ourselves on occasion, but there are things that I can do, that we can do, to honor God more with the gifts that he has entrusted to us. Don't let the Pharisees of today try to trap you with how you are to spend the gifts that God has entrusted to you.